Praise the Lord for God's house. And if you have your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then I want you to keep your finger there or mark that and go to Acts chapter 17. And going to go ahead and just try to give you a practical message that Pastor wanted me to present to you guys today. And hopefully it will help us. And I think, as I tell our young people, a lot of times the things we know to do are the hard things to do. And this will just be a reminder of some things maybe that we know and or maybe that we don't know. And I hope that by the end of it, we'll be able to apply something. And my heart's desire is, as I prayed to the Lord this week about this subject, because I knew I was going to preach about it, God's already done some work. And I'll tell you a little bit about it, done that work in my heart already this week. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then Acts chapter 17. Let's all stand together. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You guys hear me okay? Sound right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. Unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I want you to go to Acts chapter 17. And we mentioned this. Some of these verses you're going to remember from Sunday. The verse 17 says, "These were more," what?
Noble
"than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether though things were so." Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, just for your word. Thank you for speaking to my heart this week, Lord, on this subject. And I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you'd be with our pastor, be with his throat, Lord, with just not feeling well. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring him back into our pulpit on Sunday, give him the strength, and just your unction, Lord, as he comes back. But tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd be with me. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be evident. And I pray, Lord, my desire is as we leave today, I pray, Lord, that maybe one thing we can implement, Lord, starting tonight, maybe tomorrow, Lord, that we might have a closer walk with you, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was trying to think about what would be a great way to begin tonight. I know Wednesday's a hard night. Sunday morning sometimes is hard for a preacher as well, but I think Wednesday night, you know, you guys been at work and you're battling the crazy drivers and also the rain today. And I was thinking about when I got to start getting to know my wife, Elizabeth, and we were high school sweethearts. We had something called our spring banquet. We do that for our kids here at Shadow Mountain. And it's like our prom, all right? We don't do any dancing or anything like that, but it's like our prom, and we did that. And after high school, we went to college, and to be honest with you, if you know anything about me, sometimes I can get very tunnel vision, and you'll say hi and stuff, and it's not that I'm ignoring you or being stuck up. It's just I don't even know you're there, you know? And when I was in college, that was the case. I went to college, four-year degree. I did in 3 years. Not because I'm smart, all right? I wasn't smart. I just worked hard. I was doing 21 hours, 20 hours. Those Bible college students, you guys know that's a huge load. And I mean, I was just taking them all. I was doing every interim you could, summer interim, winter interim, any interim, you know, I could take. And I was taking that. So I really didn't have much of maybe a college life. You know, I went to classes and all that. And then after my senior year, I became the youth pastor there in Long Beach. And then after I graduated, I became the youth pastor down there. So I moved to Long Beach, and my wife was teaching up here. And once in a while, I'd see her. Like I said, we were high school sweethearts. You know, we'd see each other, and kind of wherever we left our conversations, we could pick it back up again and talk and kind of just pick it up. Maybe you have a friend like that you have a relationship that you talk to them, and then you don't see them, and you see them again, and you pick it right back up, and you do it. And that was kind of like our relationship. And for a couple years or so, I would see her, you know, for leadership or different things. And 1 year I saw her at leadership, and she says, "Hey, are you going to ignore me?" And I was like, "No, I didn't even see you." You know, tunnel vision. You know, man, single youth pastor. You would think he would see everybody. You know, and so we started talking, and you know, we kind of just started talking again, and I think it was about a year or two, we started talking, and you know, I'm a single youth pastor. I need to be married as a youth pastor, you know, and my thought is, you know, I need to get married, I need to get a wife, and all this, and my wife, she was having fun being a single, I think, adult, and teaching and all that, and she probably was not even thinking about it, you know. And my wife tells me, because I had to get her side of the story, after talking to her and getting to know her and picking her up from the airport and bringing her flowers and doing all of this, our youth pastor, Brother Schmidt, one day said, hey, you got to give Morris a chance. And she's like, no. She's like trying to resist it. Like I'm like a vampire or something. You know, I don't know. Just, no, I don't want that. And she said, or Brother Schmidt said, if you give him 3 months, you'll love him. Man, praise the Lord for Brother Schmidt, you know. That's why I still love him. And she says, give him 3 months and you'll love him. That was Brother Schmidt's words. That was after a morning Sunday service, I believe. She was on Christmas break. So she was teaching up here. She was back there. That night, you would have thought they planned this. That night, Pastor Chapel pulled her aside. Man, these guys are helping me. You got to give them a chance. And she was just still trying to resist. So I knew I had an opportunity where I would spend some time with her. And I was going to take her to the airport so she could fly back up here and, you know, after Christmas break and then come back and teach again. Well, remember, I was talking to her. I was getting to know her. And I cared about her a lot. And I got a special gift I wanted to get her. In this, you know, mom's watching this. You know, my mom's watching. You know, you're trying, and she doesn't really seem like she's really interested. You know, mom, you know, thanks, mom, you're killing me, you know. And basically, she not drop her, but just forget it, you know. I got this special gift I wanted to give to her, and she says, just take it back and don't worry about it. I'm like, yeah, mom, you know, I love you, you know. But, you know, she was right. It didn't seem like this. A relationship was going anywhere. On this side, I guess Sarah was over there. Hey, just give them a chance. You know, she was my cheerleader here in Morgan Hill. And man, everyone's, you know, trying to help pastors and youth pastors and just give this guy a chance. Well, I remember I picked her up, and that's the time I had my Honda Civic. Remember my slam down Honda Civic, the lowrider, the youth pastor ride. Remember that? And I had that, and I was taking her to the airport. I believe it was Burbank Airport. And I was driving, and it was quiet. I don't even think I had music playing. She wasn't even talking. She was staring at my air conditioner vent. And it was just awkward, quiet. But inside, God, I think, was doing a work in her heart. And I'm over here driving, Brother Steve, and I'm thinking, I want to date her. You know, I want to take care of her. I didn't tell her this yet. I love her, you know. I want to take, you know, I just, if she would just give me a chance, I just, there's all these benefits. Does that make sense? In my mind, right? I'm like, just give me a shot, you know? So I went ahead. Well, she thinks you can ask her the story after, right? So finally we go to the airport and these were the times, I don't know if you can do this now. But these were the times I could go in with her, and you could walk through, up into the point you go through security. So I could walk up. I remember we were talking and all that, and there was the spot right there where she would start security, and then I couldn't talk to her anymore. So we sat down, we started talking, and she asked me, she said, so why do you want to date me? And I'm thinking I'm dropping her off, and this is it. You know, I'm done, no mas. My mom's like, drop her, you know, forget it. And she's like, why do you want to date me, you know? And I gave her some Bible college answer, you know, thou art godly, and, you know, whatever, you know. I started saying all this stuff. And if you know anything about my wife, she's like, no, why do you want to date me? And I gave, like, well, you're pretty, and I like you. You know, no college, you know, Bible college answer. And she's like, okay. And I was like, okay. She's like, okay, I'll date you. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah. I mean, every time my wife has told me we're going to have a kid or something, I'm always like, you're joking, right? Like, so this, I was shocked. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I'll date you. And this is right as she's getting ready to jump on the plane, right? So no joke, this is what I did. Wait, just a second. I don't know how I did this, Brother Steve. Even she'll tell you, because we talked about today. I floated out of Burbank Airport, floated to the car. And like, I mean, I was fast. Even in those days, I was fast. But I don't know how stinking fast. Remember I got her a gift? I had something for her. It was under my seat. I had a Christmas present. And I was going to take it back, Brother Steve. I was going to just take it back. It's over. Remember what my mom said. And I give it to her. And Elizabeth's like, man, that was fast, you know, the little box. It's not what you think it is, you know. And I had this, and it was like a pearl set that she wanted. And I got her a pearl set, and I gave it to her. And, man, I was so excited, man. Wanted to hug her or kiss her or something, you know. I didn't do any of that, all right, but I wanted to. And, I mean, I was just so overjoyed that she said yes. Why? Because I loved her. I cared about her. I had something for her that I'd been holding on to that I was going to go take back. And I know, you know, jokingly, I use the word benefit. But if she would just give me a shot, hey, I want to take care of her. And when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about the aspect of our personal walk with God, that there are all these benefits. There's all these things if we would just give him a chance. The same could be said of our personal walk with him. How am I going to really get to know him if I don't spend time with him? If I don't spend time with him, how am I going to know his likes, his dislikes, where we should go, what we should do, what we should watch, what we should listen to? Am I committed to him? Am I making time really to know him? One of the things my wife did not want to do, she didn't want to commit. And I remember my mom saying that. She didn't want to commit. But in a way, if I could use this analogy, if she was willing to commit, just say yes, there were some benefits. I would take care of her. I'd bring her more flowers, even when she told me not to sometimes. I loved her, and I just wanted to do that for her. And I think when we think about that, God says, hey, listen, I have all these benefits for you, Dave, if you would just spend time with me. Do you get it? If you just talk with me, if you spend time with me, and we're going to talk about all those different aspects, but what are some benefits in having our personal devotions or spending time with the Lord? What are some of those benefits? Real practical message tonight. I want you to look at number one. One of the things I see is I'm obeying God's command. I'm just obeying God's command. I'm obeying him. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, it's a Bible study tonight, so we're going to turn to a few passages. Luke chapter 18. And I want you to look at verse number 1. And he spake a parable, Luke 18, verse 1, unto them to this end, that men ought always to what?
Pray.
To pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. He wouldn't do anything. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, he doesn't even believe in God, he doesn't even trust God, nor regard men, doesn't even care about people. Look at verse 5. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, what's that next word? I would encourage you to highlight that or underline that. I did that today. I highlighted it. By her continual coming, she weary me. What was going on here? She would not stop. She just kept coming to him. Who are some people that demonstrate a walk with God in the Bible? When I think about this, I think about Daniel in the Old Testament. I think that's in your notes. I think about Daniel. And I want you, you don't have to go there, but if you want, it's Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to hear this verse, all right? Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So he was given this responsibility, all right? When you look at this passage, they really couldn't find any fault in Daniel. And then they make a decree. They said, hey, if you don't do what we say, you're going to get you're going to be thrown in a lion's. Look at verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together the kings and said thus unto King Darius, live forever, All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, a royal decree, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Hey, if you don't go to him, you're going to go into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish, verse 8, the decree and signing the writing that it be changed according to the law of Moses and the Persians. So once they said, hey, this is law, that could not be changed. Verse 9, whereof King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Why did he do that? Man, they were playing to his heartstrings. Hey, I get, you know, no one else can make, you know, a call except you come to me. He thought that was cool. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he did what? He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. I want you to look at it. As he did what? Aforetime. That means as he had done before. Here in the Old Testament, you see Daniel was committed to God. And though there was a decree, though he knew what the consequence was, he said, I'm going to go ahead and I want to have that personal walk with God. I don't care what anybody says. This is what I'm going to do. You see, Daniel did that. And also in the New Testament, we see Jesus. Many times, and I gave you the passages, you see Jesus will come aside and he will spend time with the Father. I want to remind us, one of the benefits is I am obeying God's command. Let me ask you, do you want to obey God's command? Do you want to know that, hey, what I'm doing is being a blessing to God? Hey, what's one of the benefits? Hey, I'm obeying God. I also want you to look at number 2. It is God's way of meeting our needs. It is God's way of meeting our needs. If you have your Bible there, go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I want you to look at verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. The meat is all here in the beginning and at the end. I'm just going to give you some quick stuff, okay? So we'll be quick. Luke chapter 11, look at verse number 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, and you guys know this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, look at it, yet because of his what? Importunity. I'd encourage you, underline that or highlight that or circle it. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Look at verse 9. I say unto you, what? Ask, and that should be given you. What else? Seek, and ye shall find. What else? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Did you catch that in verse 8? Yet because of his importunity. I think we have a screen for this. This means pressing solicitation, urgent request, application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency. Listen, this is what he's talking about. His friend would not stop asking. Remember that widow? She kept continually. And that's what the Bible's saying. Do we have that type of importunity for a request or a petition? A lot of you guys had prayer requests. Serious prayer requests. This gentleman that got saved this whole year, they've been praying for him. What's his name, Irma? Robert. Importunity, continually. What's one of the benefits? God's way of meeting that need. That way of answering that prayer. I was going to take you another passage. Maybe if you want to write this down, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. hey, listen, if God, or if a man will give good gifts, an unsaved person, to their children, let me ask you, won't God give you such, won't he bless you more abundantly than that? Yeah. Why? Because we're his children. He's God. He wants to bless us, just like I want to do the best for my children. Sometimes I can't, but whatever I can, I want to do that. Don't you think God wants to do more than that? Of course. I am obeying God's command. It is God's way of meeting our need. I want you to look at number three. It produces fullness of joy. It produces fullness of joy. I think you have this in John chapter 16. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let me stop here just for a second. You know why sometimes we don't receive? I'm just going to say it. We don't ask. I was a youth pastor down in Long Beach for 3 years. I mentioned 3 years full-time, and then one other year was part-time. So 4 years in Long Beach. One of the last things I was given, as I have here, is an opportunity to do a fundraiser, do fundraisers. And I really didn't like doing this. You know why I didn't like doing it? I didn't like asking people for anything. Okay? My reputation here might be something different now. The staff wrote a whole song about me finding someone off the street and having them work for me in the church, you know, just finding a random person. You know, it's just, I will ask, right? But I learned years ago, I was given an opportunity to raise some money for the school, and it wasn't for me, so it was a little bit easier. But I remember I had a goal, and I never did anything like this before. And I remember I raised $10,000 in that fundraiser. Man, I thought that was awesome, man. My first fundraiser was able to profit $10,000. I learned, man, I'm going to ask. You know, most of what I'm doing is not selfish. It's not for me. It's for the kids or for a project or for the school or something. Man, I learned if I don't ask, I'm not going to receive. And why do we do that for a school, or we do it for some silly whatever, you name it? But we have something, sometimes we just don't ask. Well, God knows anyway. Yeah, but he wants to hear you. He wants you to talk to him. My kids, I might know that they need shoes, or I might know that they need, you name it. But sometimes, isn't it nice, Troy, where they come and say, hey, Dad, I would like this. You might already have it. You just want them to ask. And I think God's the same way. He wants us, or that product is, God wants to give us that fullness of joy. I'm not going to have you turn to it, but if you want to write this down, you might have in your notes, Psalm 51, 1 through 2, or 1 through 12, sorry. I've been preaching to the teenagers about David and daring to do different things. And one of the things I've been talking lately to the teenagers the last couple weeks is about daring to take counsel, or to realize if you blow it, to confess, all right, to get it right. And in this passage, you see in Psalm where David really basically unloads and just basically tells us, man, he blew it. I don't know if you know the story, but this is a story of when he blew it with Bathsheba, all right? I said this earlier, I think this week on Sunday. He was supposed to be at battle and he wasn't there. And then he went out on his porch on the roof of the place and saw her. And then he called for her. And then he spent time with her. And then they were with child, right? And then he ended up killing Uriah, her husband. And then she calls him in, and now he's in the palace, and maybe a few people know what's going on, but basically they thought they've gotten away with some sin, right? Well, this psalm is talking about how David realizes, man, I've blown it. And he says in 51 verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. You're seeing David's heart coming out. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Every time he looks in the mirror, every time he sees Bathsheba, every time he thinks of what's been taking place, it's just eating at him. And he says in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And he goes on, and he's just pouring out his heart to God. Now, I want you to hear this. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities, in verse 9. And then listen to verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. That's important. Why is he saying that? Remember Saul? He had the Holy Spirit and it was taken away from him. And he's saying here, don't do that. Verse 12. And I love this. David, after sinning, doing all this, and he's pouring his heart out where we're seeing it. Verse 12, he says, restore unto me, what is it? The joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. What is he saying? Hey, I've blown it. I've done wrong. God, restore that. Restore that happiness back in my life. And you see here that David has that relationship stored. Why? Because it was a benefit. He got back with the Lord. He confessed that and he got that right. It produces a fullness of joy. And when I think about this, what happens when we get that right? When we get our spirit right with the Lord, when we get those things right. Maybe there's a relationship like I was talking about. It wasn't part of my message, but there's that bickering and that fighting, and I'm sitting over there, and I'm over here. I see her, and I walk that way, and then she walks that way. And I mean, there's all this stuff going on. What happens when we restore that? I love it. Verse 13. Then check this out, Andrew. I know he's looking at this passage. I love this. Verse 13. He says, then, when he got all this right, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and look at it, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What happened? He became a soul winner. He started reaching out. He started seeing these people that we mentioned that we've been witnessing to and talking to and telling about the Lord and seeing a coworker, a guy I've known, you know, from the police academy or whatever. God starts doing a work. Why? Because we have that joy restored in our life. There's a benefit. I am obeying God's command. It is God's way of meeting our needs. It produces a fullness of joy. And then last of all, just in this first section here, it gives us peace instead of worry. It gives us peace instead of worry. Franny's not here. She says, Brother Morris, stop worrying. You know, I said, I get paid to worry because I got to make sure pastor's happy. You know, I want to make sure things are done right. I joke around with her on that. Now, let me ask you, do you worry sometimes? Raise your hand. Probably every one of us. We worry. It gives us peace instead of worry. I don't know if you're there, but in Philippians chapter 4, I don't know if we have this on the screens. But in Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Do you know? Your request. Do you guys have this? No? Okay, I'll give it to you. Let your request be made known unto God. So there he's telling you, hey, listen, tell God about it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, now listen, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, I want you to think upon these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, hey, listen, there's a lot of things, Troy, I can be worrying about. He says, but talk to me about it. And I know I've said this before. I sound like a broken record, all right? But it's easy for me to jump on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or some email or a phone and tell everybody else about a problem. But God says, hey, listen, talk to me. There's a benefit to it. Now, I'm not saying you can't do that, all right? We all do that. And I saw a lot of posts today about prayer requests. We should do that. And that's what we did tonight. But God says, hey, listen, don't forget about me first. Talk to me. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye have called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Corinthians. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as is in all churches of the saints. And then 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the benefits? What are some of the benefits? I am obeying God's command. It is God's way of meeting our needs. Don't we have that on a regular basis? Yeah. It produces that fullness of joy. Maybe I don't have a smile always on my face, but there's that inner joy. And then it gives us peace instead of worry. Now, here you go. I'm going to be quick. Now, how do we apply that? I just don't want to take for granted, right, Brother Greg? I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows what personal devotions are, all right? So what components does our personal devotions need to have to be effective in my life, in your life? Okay, how do I put that to shoe leather, like we said on Sunday? How does that happen? Well, here you go. I'm glad you asked. Number one, prayer. All right, prayer. We're not going to go to it, but Jesus, as I said earlier, he'll give you the model prayer, not as those that were Catholic. Paola, were you a Catholic before? Yeah, I was Catholic. You're, you know, from Latin America, and you're taught Santa Maria, and you go and you do the beads, and I'm in there in the little, you know, foam booth or whatever, you know, doing all that. What's a way we can pray? Let me give you easy. Look, I don't know what you have in your notes. Think of the word acts. All right, acts. Here you go. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Brother Morris, how do I pray? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You could break up. I don't know how much time you spend. You could break up your prayer time just like that. And if you can remember that, that's a great way to pray. You should pray every day alone with God. You should pray with other Christians at church, at mealtimes, as a family. Anytime there's a need for a prayer request, pray. Every night. This isn't bragging. Every night, I kneel down with my girls. I can't say every night I kneel down, but we do. Every night, I pray with them. If they're in their bed or if we're kneeling down or something, I pray with them. Why? It's important. They should know. If I forget, they should say, Dad, what? You know, stop being spiritual. We forgot to pray. That's good. We should pray. What does the Bible tell me about that? 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Be constantly in a spirit of prayer. Man, at any moment, Crawford came by today. I called him Papa. I never had a grandpa. He came in with his cane, and he said, Brother Morris, I just want to pray with you. That was awesome. Just dropped everything. Hey, let's pray. Brother Siana, same thing tonight. Can I pray with you? Yeah, man, let's pray. I need all the prayer I can get, man. And pray. That's what God's talking about. Prayer. Look at number two. It's reading the Bible, reading the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, you have that. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Who's ever had a baby? All right, there's one right back there. Brother Reed, does that baby tell you when she's hungry? All the time, right? She will tell you. You know what this is telling me? As newborn babes desire that sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, we ought to be that way. We ought to be reading it and wanting to learn and grow and seeing God do a work. Spiritual growth can only come as you read and study the Bible. The best way to grow in Christ is to begin right now, to develop that habit that will ensure that joy-filled life. One of those habits is reading the Bible every day. I suggest, or I challenge you, as millions of other people around the globe read their Bible. And I will help you. I've told the teenagers, I preach something similar to this. There's apps, there's things. I a lot of my Bible reading, I have it on my phone, and I read it. Why? I'll be honest with you. There's a little button I push, and it's a check mark. I'm that kind of guy. I will put something on my to-do list so I can check it off. Who's with me? All right, a few of you. Awesome. I'm not the only weird person in here. And you know what? In Bible reading, I do the same thing. I get to check it off. Not so I can check it off, but hey, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm able to do highlights, or I'm able to tweet something about it, or mark it, or make a note. Listen, I'm trying to grow. Do you have something like that? Maybe you actually use the Bible, or maybe you use a devotional. I just sent Brother Florsinger last night. We sent him a kid's devotional, and my wife has a book. It's awesome. I don't know where we got it. We have an awesome, there's another one. Scott, you got to come see me, or if you have children. We have an awesome book we do every night with the girls, and it's Bible stories. Every night, the kids are asking us to give them Bible stories. That's awesome. I'm just saying, it's building those habits right now. So prayer, reading the Word. Look at third one, study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. I don't want to rehash this because we've talked about it, but in Acts it says they were more noble. They were lifted up. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures whether those things were so. Hey, they didn't just, hey, Ralph, you just heard the preacher say, so I'm going to do it. You know what? We got to stop being lazy Christians. Why do I believe this? Why don't I listen to that? Why don't I wear that? Why don't I go there? Not just because pastor told me or because I told you. What does the Bible say? I'm just saying. I tell the teenagers, there's going to come a time, Mitchell, he can't be holding on to mama and dad's coattails anymore. He's going to have to make decisions on his own. Am I right? So we got to know. Well, what is he saying? Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. No Christian can grow in Christ without developing the study of the Bible on a regular basis. I need to be in it. I got to be reading. I need to be searching it. And I talked about this. And if you want more of this next point, come talk to me. I do this normally now on a weekly basis. I'm doing this. Number four, fasting. Fasting. In Matthew, it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by what? Prayer and fasting. Mark. And he said unto them, this kind came forth by nothing, but by what? Prayer and fasting. I truly believe we get God's attention. Remember Sunday? When we do this. When I will, and I've done this a few times to my wife recently, because I better tell her, because she's making me lunch or dinner or something. I will spend breakfast or lunch, and by the time dinner, man, I'm ready to die. But I will spend some time, and I will drop the girls off, and I'll spend time with the Lord. Why? Because I need him to talk to me. There's something I'm praying about. There's something I'm asking the Lord about, and I want to get a hold of the throne of God. What am I doing? Okay, God. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to do whatever it is. And you can search the scriptures on. There's other things you can fast from. This new year, I'm working. Oh, man, I'm so excited. The 40 days of focus. We just finished the English version. I'm working on the Spanish version. Man, it's awesome. Beautiful graphic. We're going to launch it the last day of this year. It is awesome. And you know what? Excited about those aspects of fasting. You're like, excited about it? Yeah, why? Because that's moments where I got to tell God, God, I'm serious about this. I want you to work in my life. The aspect of fasting. I truly believe we will get his attention. So how do we put that to practice? Let me challenge you with this, right? If you don't get anything else, I know you're not supposed to say this, all right? Get this. I challenge you. Let me say it like I tell the teenagers. I dare you to do this. I did this yesterday, and God woke me up 15 minutes before my alarm, all right? So here you go. I dare you tonight. Set your alarm. Let's say you get up at 6 o'clock. Let's just say 6 o'clock. I dare you to set your clock 15 minutes before, all right? 15 minutes before. I don't want to say I know 100% sure, but I'm almost 100% sure tomorrow the Lord will wake you up right before that goes off. And this is what I ask you. If the Lord does that, Brother Steve, as he did that to me, last night I put it 15 minutes before. The Lord got me up 15 minutes before that. So it was 30 minutes today. But then I was able to spend some time with the Lord. I prayed, took care of some business, and then I was able to read and spend time with the Lord. That was awesome because I went ahead and put that on the calendar. Hey, listen, we make appointments for a lot of things. My hair. People say, where are you going? I have an appointment with Jenny. Jenny, those that know, she does my hair. Yes, lady does my hair. You know, I have to make an appointment. Dentist appointment, doctor appointment, right? Starbucks appointment. Whatever other kind of appointments, shouldn't our walk with the Lord be important? I'm just saying, guys, hey, I'll be the first one to tell you, I haven't always done a great job about this. And God's been speaking to my heart. So praise the Lord, Pastor asked me to talk about this because God's working in me. It's about applying those things. I dare you, a week from now, you'll mean, oh man, I'm glad I did. Because God's going to do a work. Prayer, reading the Bible, study the scriptures, fasting. Here you go. True Christianity is not just a set of beliefs, folks, but it's a personal relationship with God. I wanted to get to know Elizabeth Watts. That's what I wanted. I was tunnel vision, remember? That's what I wanted. There were benefits she didn't know about. I say benefits. I don't know what she would say. But there's things I wanted to do. I wanted to show. I wanted to demonstrate. This is cheesy, but I'm just going to tell you, all right? Maybe over Starbucks or if you come to our house. When I proposed, and it wasn't at P.F. Chang's, all right, for those that get this story wrong, all right? One of the cheesy lines, I think, when I proposed to my wife at the place I proposed to her was something along these lines. This is just a small part. And if you know our engagement story, if you want to hear, I'll tell you later. It was a huge, very expensive day. But I said, this was just a small part of what I want to do for the rest of our life. Man, that was good. Write that down, Crawford. All right. this is a small. This is just something small. Now listen. Yeah. What was I in a way trying to say? Hey, I want to do something for you. I love you. I want to show that. You know what? More than my cheesy story, is God says, hey, listen, I have so much I want to do for you. Steve, there's so much you don't even know that I want to bless you if you would just spend time with me. Do you get it? I hope that was a blessing to you, because I was trying, man, how do I apply this? God says, hey, listen, I want to give you some awesome benefits, Brother Siana, but you just have to come to me. You have to talk to me. The same is with Christ. The more I talk to him, I listen to him, I spend time with him, I know his likes, I'll know his dislikes, I'll get to build that relationship. Hey, I got a long ways to go, but you know what? I'm more in love with my wife, our girls, why? Of building those relationships. Listen, same with God. Spend time. Encourage you tonight, tomorrow, spend that time with him. Hey, personal devotions, benefits of having them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight, and Lord, just your word, just the opportunity, Lord, to look into it. Lord, you could have chosen anything, but Lord, you chose to have a relationship.